This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. We're live. It is Wednesday. It's the 23rd of January. Kick off with a whole lot of energy. Huh? I'm feeling good this morning, actually. I say to Ben, I must get a decent pillow because I think I'm sleeping badly. And every time I wake up now, I've got like a crick in the neck. And I think it's my pillow. I think the pillow should be blamed.
Yeah, Gareth, I believe so too. Oh. Also, what you should try to do is, for a day or two, is to get one of those travel pillows.
Yes.
And try to sleep in the back. Try to stay still.
You told me that was the key.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Speaking of travel pillows, Gord is here this morning. Hey.
How's it, guys?
How are you, Gord?
I'm bloody back as how I am. How are you, GC?
Good,
don't
man.
Get
how
that
was your
segue?
Hey, see ya.
Sorry about the crick in your neck, man.
No, that's all right. How was Barcelona?
I was in Sieges, which is it's technically part of Barcelona. It's part of Catalonia province.
But you pronounce it Sitges.
Yeah, well, it's weird because the locals say Sieges. And then, that was what I was always told it was. But it is the place that the gays have. Like, they have their own place.
Oh.
They conquered a place. I don't know if they conquered a place so much as just fabulous'd it over.
But, gay bar.
They just have their own town, and it's brilliant. Like, they've got Zion. Zion of the gays.
Yes.
And so, they love it. And then when their nice heterosexual people come, they're like, oh, heterosexuals, welcome. Come and see our way of life.
I didn't realize Barcelona had such an enormous gay population.
Well, Sieges is on the outside of Barcelona. It's like a 40-minute train ride from Barca proper, and you go through Industria, and then you go through what's a little bit like not rural, but like a little bit of grassy sort of open space section of Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
It's like twice as long as that to drive there, but it's like 40 minutes away by train, but it's on the outskirts, very sleepy little seaside town, very chilled, like beautiful beach. It's owned and maintained by the gays, so it's beautiful.
Wow.
And it's clean and it's peaceful and
that's
lovely.
Very nice.
And they'll judge you out of town if you don't have your shit together.
Now that's the real land of my people.
Yeah, it is. It's you must go.
Sounds amazing.
They do pride there. They do Barca pride there.
So this is what Freddie Mercury was singing about all those years ago.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
He really meant Sieges.
I want to go with Gord.
Outskirts of Barcelona.
All right, here's the show that Gord, because Gord went over there not just to have a holiday, he went to work. He was part of a new soap opera they've just commissioned on Spanish television in Barcelona. Listen to this. Gord stars as the male lead here. Listen to this. They do have some canned laughter, but don't let it put you off. All right.
Real.
You might be able to work out here what's going on, pick up a little word here or there, all right? But your Spanish is very good.
It's very
good, Gord. All right, here it is.
Listen. Gracias.
Bono estente, mi amoros.
Bono estente, pussycat.
Wow! Questo lo faro stick on lip?
Oh.
Mi encantero, sminky pinky, slutto stupido. Bang, bang, bang. Keeping snow, pippy snow.
Let's just explain to everybody, Gord, because they can't see this. It'll only be released much, much
and
later.
And explain to everyone, also me,
what's even
going on.
The woman sees lipstick on your collar, and that's when she loses it, and now she's cross, so she lights a cigarette, and you try to explain, but then you go to the mirror and you see how obvious it is that it's lipstick, and now she's accusing you, basically. Right? So this is, very good acting by Gord in this piece.
Gracias, Gareth, gracias.
And she slaps you. And so you punch her.
Yeah, as one does.
Oh, apologies, mi amores. Apologies. Tuo tutto macho fantastico. Mio star. Vetare in cucina, Pablo Mangiano.
This is obviously like
bullshit though. Like, that's obviously like pig Spanish.
No.
It's humorous parody Spanish.
No, it's real Spanish.
I just thought they were more progressive in the gender sense, but clearly not.
Really, that's...
Your character, Gord, sounds dreadful.
Gracias, Ben Karpinski.
Punches a woman in the face.
Tutti frutti, sticky pinky Ben Karpinski.
Ooh. Take that, Academy.
Yeah.
Good laws.
Gord's lining up an Oscar there. All right. Listen, important things. Ben watched that Fire documentary.
Oh, on Netflix, you got to see
Oh,
this.
I watched the shit out of that as well.
Wow. Okay, so please tell me what it is, because I see loads of noise about it all over. People saying, you have to watch this. It's the most important thing
and
ever.
And there are two of them. And
two documentaries.
Yeah, one's on Hulu, the one's on Netflix. I haven't watched the Hulu one.
Right, so what is it?
But essentially, this absolute charlatan, sort of like millennial maverick business person guy, he decides that along with Ja Rule. That they're going to create the greatest ever music festival in the history of greatest ever music festivals. So they go out, they find this island, they then pay these models a whole shit ton of money to go party with them for a week, and they just take photos and they create like these promotional videos to say, you can be at Fire. It's going to be the
Fire Fest.
It's going to be like the most lit thing ever. And I don't want to spoil the documentary for you because you've got to watch it, but it is obviously public knowledge that this thing completely fucks up.
It was like a big news story like a year ago, maybe like somewhere in the last year or two. It was a huge sort of social media.
Yeah, we spoke about it.
It was like everywhere. It was trending for like a week, whatever. But now, like, I guess a year later, maybe slightly longer than a year later, they've kind of done the they've gone behind the scenes, spoken to everybody, done the documentary. So like Ben says, it's public knowledge what happened, but to actually see it, to watch the car crash in slow motion.
It's exactly what it is, Gord. It's a car crash. So what they did was they sold out this festival, okay? But now they promised people villas, they promised people these like...
jets.
Everything is just promised and amazing. And the lineup of artists is like top class, really
incredible. Blink 182, DJ Khaled.
Major Lazer.
And
C.S. Sangweni. I mean, everyone
others. Yeah.
I mean, they literally had booked everybody. And everyone was talking about how this is the greatest thing ever. So they got all the biggest like supermodels in the world to basically post about this on social media. Then they got one of those Kardashians to post about it as well.
But real supermodels, not the models who pay the photographer, the ones who are paid by the photographers, like, those kind of models.
Wow. Like actual models. And then as you get closer and closer, the word starts getting out that there's actually no festival, really. So they had there's this island in the Bahamas that Pablo Escobar used to have. This island is literally this runway. There's nothing else there, like one house. So they said, okay, this is going to be it. And then the owner said, you can have a party here, you can do stuff, but don't ever mention that Pablo Escobar was here. First piece of communication on Pablo Escobar's old island. The guy's like, oi, get off.
And also no electricity. These islands are too small.
Nothing. There's no,
there's no electricity. There's no plumbing. They're like loads of little islands in the Bahamas where it's just like a, what do you call it? Like a where sand breaches the water.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you can own those and you can build a little bungalow on them, but they like to plumb them and to build electricity to them and to give them internet requires infrastructure.
Yeah.
So
but this did not stop this,
no,
this
exactly.
bullshit a guy.
Captain Bullshit, his solution to like, there being no way to back up his bullshit is to add another layer or two or three of bullshit.
Yeah, so as you know, with all psychopaths and just pathological liars, is they start believing their bullshit, so they start living in their own like parallel universe.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy just kept, as Gord said, going more and more and more, but he managed to bullshit investors to keep giving him money. And this whole thing, just think, like everything was impossible, and then he'll probably do like 7 lines of cocaine and then come back and say, well, let's find a solution. And then he would keep creating more and more and more. And this thing absolutely skyrocketed out of proportion.
Did
people lose money?
Oh, he had like a team of, they looked like, you know, predictable hair, millennial fashion victim dickheads, but like super hip trendy social media experts, guys from an ad agency.
They're like the best of the best working.
He brought
in
like the dickheadest of the dickhead professional dickheads New York had to offer. Offered them all, I don't know what the financial structuring was like, but like offered them big incentives and stuff to do the work. I think the majority of them, it looked to me like, again, you got to watch it for yourself. It looked to me like basically Dickface himself, his name was like Bill something, I don't remember.
Billy
something. But Dickhead himself, Ja Rule, and like one of the main oaks seemed to know that it was a shit show. Everybody else was as conned. Like his team of like 20 main people. Plus, they hired loads of laborers. When they finally found an island that had the infrastructure, yeah. they did it on the same week. They realized their date they'd booked was the same week as like the regatta. Like so the whole island was booked up.
Weekend of the year.
But anyway, the point is that like it looked as if the staff also were kind of conned into believing in it and believing in the potential return, and loads of people didn't get paid and had their reputations besmirched. But just watching this thing go down in flames and seeing how like you're like, oh my God, I can't believe how fucked they are. And then it's Jeez. Like, but then he promised this. And like, I think they lost, they spent like, they owed like 27 million on it that oh they couldn't God. Pay by the end of it. Was it 27, 24?
Yeah. What a disaster.
That like...
But there's more. There's always more.
Yeah, there's always more in this documentary.
Which is so interesting because obviously people want to go out there and they want to have the best Instagram lifetime because now they've got the perfect thing to...
Like, so this is like a honey trap for millennials.
Mm. Yeah. But they went.
And they all went.
So, well, not so, all, but many.
So there weren't villas and all these... There weren't luxury tents. There was hurricane tents that they basically put... beds into, which were rained upon,
and they were just inflatable mattresses with nothing on them. Like you got this like igloo hurricane canvas hurricane igloo tent with two plastic wrapped inflatable mattresses in it and chucked in it or even just thrown next to it, and then the night before it like they had a torrential downpour and it soaked all the tents and the stuff in them.
So essentially, this, like a whole bunch of millennials paid a whole bunch of money to go be a refugee
think
for a
it
weekend.
I stand to be corrected, but I think it was like $2,000 to go for the weekend. Jeez. And that's before you add jet skis. You're supposed to be able to do add-ons like day on the yacht plus however many hundreds or thousands of dollars. Like private flight in, more dollars. You could get a ticket, but then you could also like up VIP it on many different tiers. So but like the pleb ticket was like $2,000. You could get up to like five times that much for the top of the package.
But it never existed. So they kept upselling to order to make more money to make their promises work, but they kept lying.
And of course, social media was fueling this because people would believe whatever they see on social media because that's how that's how millennials
this
work.
This was like a catalyst for the whole thing of regulating, or at least the process underway of trying to regulate paid endorsements from influencers. Like literally they just the more they got these really top level models, real, as I said, real models, to kind of all post this and paid a bunch of influencers to all post this like orange rectangle and then hashtag Firefest, fire with a Y, F-Y-R-E, obviously. Yeah. Obviously can't spell shit normally for it to be hip.
Of course not.
Got to be bugger up the spelling to be cool.
I'm just surprised Sia didn't buy a ticket.
But they all launched their little social media thing, confused. Like their teaser campaign at the same time. And like it just started, and then everybody else saw it and was like, oh, cool people are sharing this, and started sharing it as well. World. And so now, like it was as I said, a major catalyst slash factor in O's needing to disclose they've been paid.
Listen to this. This is one of the stories from the documentary that Ben and Gordon are talking about. They watched it last night.
Containers filled, four 18-wheeler trucks filled with Evian water. But I had left the week before for 2 days to go to meetings in Bermuda for the America's Cup, and when I came back, I'd missed the big meeting with Customs, and of course Customs had said to Billy and the gang, you need to pay us $175,000 in cash today for us to release the water. I went down. Well, Billy called me. I'm going to speak completely, you know, this won't go that far, I'm sure, but Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. And I said, oh my gosh, I've been taking something for the team every day. He said, well, you're our wonderful gay leader, and we need you to go down. Will you suck dick to fix this water problem?
This is great. I got to watch this.
What
this is hilarious.
Nonsense. And the dude agreed. He was like...
So he sucked dick?
No, he eventually didn't have to. The customs guy was apparently super nice and said, look, you know, I'll help you out, but we got to be the first people to get paid when you get your actual money, which of course no one did. But like, you know, it's all funny. What, like they showed a little clip from one of the major talk shows. I don't know if it was like Conan or Jimmy Kimmel or something, but they had like a panel of people, and the one comedian, also couldn't tell you who, but the one comedian they were talking about it, like they showed vignettes of media reaction. Mm-hmm. And the one comedian was on one of those shows and he was like, you mean like a bunch of spoiled millennials paid thousands of dollars to go watch Blink 182 on an island and then it like fucked out? This is Darwinism at its finest. Of like, so you don't feel bad so much for like the entitled dick faces that have got nothing better to do than spend that much money on that. But you do feel bad for like the 200 laborers in the Bahamas who worked hard for a month and then didn't get paid. The lady whose little canteen, the lovely like Jamaican, what are they in Bahamas? Bahamanese lady who like had the little canteen restaurant that fed all the workers, then fed what like provided what decent food there was to the guests and lost her own $50,000 of savings not being able to pay for the food that she provided and stuff. It's those people that then it becomes like a really genuinely
heartbreaking
story. But
on the other side of the scale though, Gord, whoever you are, you still pay that $2,000 of your own money expecting this amazing experience and you didn't get it, which is still frustrating.
No, but theft is bad, obviously.
Does the documentary talk about, not even theft, it's like
it's
being...
fraud, It's fraud.
Sold the wrong thing. Does the documentary talk about who Billy McFarlane is? Because I'm like, completely. How do you get to...
It does. It gives you a full
confirm
background.
All these artists
it gives
have
you a full background. So basically,
give you money.
People kept blowing smoke up his ass about being this amazing entrepreneur, this visionary guy, and he's like this millennial messiah. He had this like loyalty scheme where you had this card, and this card allowed you like privileges around New York if you're like a stupid millennial.
One of his previous businesses.
Oh, okay.
That is what kind of gave him this idea that he can create anything.
Magnesis.
And I'm pretty sure with the right amount of cocaine and people around you constantly reaffirming that you're a genius, you think you can do everything.
But they just let Ja Rule off the hook.
Well,
first of all,
Ja
Rule's been left
Billy
off the
made.
Hook so many times. Like, he's just a total dick face and I hate him. When he's smoking his cigars and just looking so smug with himself, it's like all been pinned on this Billy McFarlane guy. And him and Ja Rule were like Boss A and Boss B. They were a team. They were calling the shots together. They were officially partners in it. And now, like, there's a $100 million lawsuit against Billy McFarlane and Ja Rule. And Ja Rule's defense, basically, like, his lawyer's statement was like, it's not in Ja Rule's, Jeffrey's DNA to defraud people. He would 100% never have done it had he been aware of what was really going on. But there's video footage of him being there, aware of what's going on.
I love that. So towards the end, there's this conference call. And the guys are saying, hey guys,
staff that so are now realizing like they've team. Been proper fucked over.
And they said, okay, well, we've lied. I mean, this is fraud. And Charles was like, no, it's not fraud. It's
false advertising.
Maybe.
So in other words, he's in on it, and now they're trying to cover
it
for him.
Yeah, and he's just trying to basically say, I was sold the dream like everyone else.
Anyway,
but like,
I really think we've already shared way too much. You've got to watch this documentary.
Well, but again, the point is, like, if anyone feels we maybe have spoiled it, you know, the story was public knowledge and was a big trending topic already. Mm. They've just made a documentary behind the scenes, and you can see what you already know happened. And
I was just completely confused about what it was. So I just saw all the reaction yesterday because it obviously was released on Netflix yesterday, so a lot of people watched it for the first time, and I'd forgotten the whole story.
And just trust me, when you think you've seen it all, that documentary gives you more and more and more and more. But it goes back to the age-old saying, if you're obsessed with getting lit, you will get burnt. That's what it comes
down
to.
I see what you did there. But just on a final note about Ja Rule, it's like, did you hear what 50 Cent did to him recently?
I would like to know if this is real or just an urban
No,
legend.
It's true. Yeah,
there's a couple of months ago.
Platonic life partner, Kulani, waving his hand furiously going, it's absolutely true. No, like, it was really true. So Ja Rule, being the minor old nostalgia act, shitty rapper that he is. Oh God, I hate him. Holla.
All right, get on with it.
Anyway, he put on a show in New York, and 50 Cent bought up like the first all the tickets in the first like 10 rows they would be empty during his show. I think that's the best. Imagine having that much fuck you money. Like, wherever you go and play performances, I'm going to buy the front seats.
But there was a conspiracy theory going around that 50 Cent actually made this whole Fire Festival to completely troll Ja Rule some more.
Oh, jeez.
I got an email. Do you want to say something, Sia?
Just quickly, how is this documentary filmed? Because is it filmed in real time and they were following like Berlin Ja Rule?
Yeah, so these guys had a camera crew on them so often because they were such self-indulged little pricks. Yeah. So there's footage of everything.
And
basically,
then they didn't know the footage would actually backfire.
And all of the people working had cell phones to video and the rest. Like,
you see, this is what's so great about
it's the circle of life.
I love it. I mean, in some way, it's exactly like all these people in state capture who Bosasa was paying. Basically, if you're an attention-seeking, vacuous asshole in 2019, you're going
Perfect
to get caught.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen to you. Someone somewhere is filming you, recording you, and because you're so narcissistic, you can't help but to be recorded and filmed. Yeah. They're going to come and get you.
Exactly.
There is also a degree of fake it till you make it, though. Like, you can understand some business people with a modicum of sense do that whole thing where it's like Richard Branson's kind of mantra of like, you know, if someone offers you an opportunity, agree to it and then learn how to do it. It's like, yeah, okay, go, cool, yeah, we have that. And then provide it afterwards. If realistically the thing you're promising you can sort out is realistically possible,
then take the leap.
Yeah, sure. It's realistically possible.
But it's just amazing. There's some serious
But
bullshit.
You can't promise raving on an island with no accommodation or electricity.
So, Gord, according to you, do you think Ja Rule should also be in jail right
now? I mean, again, I don't know all the details of what his legal defense is, but based on the documentary, he damn sure wasn't also sold the dream and also a victim of being lied to. He was co-liar number one.
Because Billy's serving 6 years for wire fraud.
But Ja Rule's serving a lifetime being Ja Rule. So,
all right, here's an email from somebody, and I've saved this for today. This is it's from Thomas. It's addressed to all of us, but especially to Gord. I've especially waited for Gord's return to send this email. So hopefully he'll come back and doesn't disappear into the abyss again. Well, he's here. Facebook told me he's exercising and eating ostrich mints, so at least we know he's alive. People are watching
you. True facts, true facts.
I really just wanted to take a moment to share this ridiculous photo of me and my son standing under the flying Gord beast at the Field Museum in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And remember the Gord beast that we discussed, that thing?
It was
that,
like a giraffe with
a canoe
mouth.
Oh, yes, the bird, the prehistoric Satan bird, the like 30-foot, the giraffe height pterodactyl with the like
with a canoe for a mouth.
With a razor sharp canoe for a mouth.
That's the one. So there's a picture of him with
Satanosaurus. Fuck you, Apollops.
That one.
And yes, he says, I know it has some proper scientific name, the one that Gord's just given us, but this is how I refer to it. And if you think about it, it's really how everyone should refer to it.
The flying Gord beast.
I'm a Saffir with German-Swiss parents, originally from Joburg, and I live in Zurich. And I married a Serbian-American from Chicago, which really means four things. Number one, I can listen to the show on podcasts in winter when the one-hour time difference kicks in. Number two, our boys are like little Jason Bournes with way too many passports. Number three, we don't save any money because we spend all our Swiss francs on hotels and flights, trying to visit all the places we have family and friends. And number four, my family gets subjected to me bursting out laughing and trying to impersonate Gord's sound effects when we unexpectedly stumble across the flying Gord beast in the Field Museum. They still don't understand why I made those noises or why I insisted on getting this picture, which wasn't easy as the museum was packed and I didn't want any sweatpant-wearing, buffet-demolishing Americans ruining the shot.
Ironically, I wear sweatpants and demolish buffets, but I appreciate you, Holmes.
My wife still thinks I'm weird, but luckily she's a beautiful soul who has patience for my quirks, and my four-year-old still asks why I needed to take a photo for the funny internet man from South Africa. That's
I appreciate this amazing beast.
I know.
It's also cool that like people from such a like world background, like, you know, you didn't get this when you were on, what do you call it,
terrestrial
broadcast radio.
So anyway, shout out and thanks for making my family completely question my sanity and also for mainly giving me an alternative to the crap they have on radio here. Seriously, if you think South African radio is bad, try Swiss radio. How bad can it be? Imagine a can of white paint clearing its throat all day. That's pretty much the level of enthusiasm and the exact sound of every Swiss radio DJ. Boring as hell. And if you've heard Swiss German before, you'll know what I mean. It's like really, really disgusting, guttural German. Swiss should stick to what they're good at, like making chocolate, being punctual, and acting neutral while stealing Jewish gold. But I digress. Each of you adds something truly unique to the show, which keeps ensuring I click listen now on the GCS more than any other podcast in my library. Gareth, Ben, Sia, Leanne, and Gord, you all rock. I won't launch into a deep and meaningful monologue about what you all add, blah, blah, blah.
No, go ahead.
Keep it up, guys. I'll try to pop into the studio with some chocolate and stolen gold when I'm next in Joburg.
Oh, what a champ, man.
Peace and love. Peace
really
and love.
I appreciate that.
Thomas.
That's so cool to have a a piece of paleontology named after me. The flying gourd beast. That'll be my legacy. We'll rename that thing. But I can also imagine, like, I feel like a little bit of honor and pride just in knowing that a man walked into a the dinosaur section of a museum and spontaneously erupted into hysterical laughter because of me and the world.
Well, Gord, if you can go to the gay side of Barcelona, you have to make a trip to this museum.
I think so.
I can see how those two things are linked, but yes, damn sure I have to. Obviously, can't do one without the other. Like love and marriage, that shit.
Hey, listen. While we're talking about getting lit, are data costs killing you?
Always.
Yeah, well.
Always.
Your future is lit with this game changer from Telkom. Become a Cliff Central listener, series binger, playlist connoisseur, and ultimate movie buff. Access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now Cliff Central podcasts without using your data. Yes, what? You heard that right.
That's amazing.
Get to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how you can get lit, as in the lit bundles.
That can't be right. You can just repeat that. You can do what without data?
You can access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now Cliff Central podcasts without using your data.
That's like all of life, basically.
That's what you need, yeah.
Right.
Wow. So get the lit bundles with Telkom and go to cliffcentral.com for more info. We've started this. It's a deal we've been working on with them for the longest time, and thank God it's eventually happening. So if you want to go and find out more, go to cliffcentral.com. You can find the ad, and you can click on it, and you'll get all the info you need. Save yourself the data costs. Now that is no longer an obstacle. I haven't heard anyone complain for like 2 years of, data costs, it's your fault. Because obviously, no, it's not my fault, and I'm not trying to rip anyone off with data costs.
Also, your thing compresses really nicely.
It does. We try to keep it small, but now, if you do this with Telkom, you get the lit bundles, you won't have to worry about data costs. Isn't that nice? Do you want to do the 5 things you need to know today?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with all these people who are receiving money from Basasa. Wow. What a payroll, these guys. What a bribe roll.
Can we just start by saying that we have not received money from Basasa?
Yeah, I want to make that absolutely clear. We've received absolutely zero from them.
Not even like an email.
No.
Not even like a WhatsApp from Cheeky
and
Watson.
And the weird thing, I would have done so much more for them than Nomvula Mokonyane ever did.
Exactly.
I mean, we would have at least have spoken to them, you know, given them some publicity, found out what they are, what they do.
A branded podcast.
I mean, nobody knows what Basasa did.
Well, all they did was they just basically got great tenders for all like catering and that kind of stuff. They just took a lot of government money.
And then gave it back to the government.
Yeah.
They laundered then they gave it back to individuals.
They're cut, obviously.
So Black First Land First President Andile Mutama has denied ever meeting former executive of Basasa, Angelo Agretti, or receiving money from the company. But do you believe him? Because
it's kind of believable because he's a clown. So.
But we know this guy will take money from wherever money comes because he's a supplicant. He's a sycophant.
Words. Those are some vocab. Like those, I was about to say word of the day until you beat it immediately.
A sycophant.
You know, he's
sycophant is a great word.
This guy
what was
is
it previously to a sycophant?
Supplicant and he's servile.
Explain supplicant.
It means someone who's on the take.
Sounds like a flower.
It's someone who's just draining the milk out of the cow all the time.
Okay,
he's servile. He'll do anything for money.
Sounds vaguely pornographic.
It is a little bit. So he says he hasn't received money, but he claims his name has appeared on a list of people alleged to have benefited from bribes paid by Basasa. There was some kind of leak yesterday. So far, Nomvula Mokonyane, Claudi Motsweneng, Tom Moyane, and Vincent Smith are among the prominent people who've received Basasa money, mentioned by Agretti at the state capture inquiry last week and this week. He says, I have never received or met with Basasa and or Angelo Agretti, he said in a statement posted on Twitter by BLF deputy president, because of course his account's been suspended. So the deputy president's account is how they all have to communicate now, them and their 300 followers. Itama says that his Twitter account is still suspended and he's trying to get it back. See, this is what's so great about social media too. If you build your whole reputation on social media and then they switch you off, you have to start again. You got nothing. You don't own it.
I got like a social media, a bit of a social media shitstorm. When I say a shitstorm, I mean whingy dickheads who no one cares about calling me out for like the most ridiculous thing ever. I got like mini lynched
by
some dickheads that decided some post of mine had like way more meaning or intended.
What did you do? Were you racist, Gord?
No, I was not racist nor sexist or anything, but all of that was implied. And the irony of how badly quotes, and I hate nothing more than this new language of cyber bullshit, like you are like cyber bullying and white knighting / virtue signaling, like talk to me like don't come at me with words that are just political jargon bullshit.
What's
of your
white
ideology
knighting? That sounds like something
I'll tell you right now, like
hey, what is white knighting?
So I have an opinion on basically what is a fashion trend. Same way, like, I could post a picture of buffalo shoes and be like, I've always hated these, they're idiotic. Or post a picture of, I've always said for many years.
I mean, isn't that one of the things social media is for?
It's for
opinions.
I've posted hundreds of times about how stupid I think duck pouting is.
No.
So, somewhere along the line, probably 2 months ago, give or take, Facebook does those fucking irritating, I actually just very recently found out you can actually turn them off, but it always shows you this people you may know. List of like faces of strangers, and it should be called people you will likely hate because it's always like dickheady looking people, and it shows you you've got friends in common. So this person whose name I don't know who they are, I've got this thing that really irritates me, this new trend I guess of the last year or so of people posing for their selfies, for their profile pictures, or just for selfies in general, doing idiotic shit with their hand in their face. Like you'll find, and it is. It happens to be largely women, the same as the last thing I hated, which was like dickhead hair / shaved side / beard face and had an opinion about, was largely men. But this particular annoying trend is,
so what did
you put your like pinky in your mouth and pose seductively, or hold your hand over your face and pose seductively, just do some stupid shit where you've got like your fingers across your eye or like one of your fingers in your mouth. So this girl is like, basically it looks like she's smelling the inside of her hand. She's like posing for her photo like this. The viewers can't see, but she's being seductive. I don't know if she's trying to be seductive. Don't care.
She's maybe hiding.
Don't know
a
if she's trying to be mysterious.
Good. Maybe she's hiding a horrible
birthmark. I don't know what the purpose is. I never commented on it. So I see this picture. I'm like, that's like a great example of this thing that I hate. I screen grab it, and then I crop it out so that you see as little of her face as you can. Just that the part where her hand's over being idiotic, and I post literally that picture. It would be very hard to know who the person was unless you knew them well. But I post underneath there, why do people do this posing thing with their hand on their face? Geez, I think it's idiotic.
Yeah.
No, #, fuck this person, they're a moron, take away their job, physically abuse them, take away their rights, belittling, demeaning terms. Literally, random person, no one should know who it is, cropped in, and it says, why do people do this stupid shit with their hand when they're posing for pictures? God, I think it's idiotic. Now, and then the irony starts to pile up. It's like many posts down in my profile. I haven't hashtagged it so someone could randomly find it if they're searching for like dumb shit, # dumb shit. It just says that sentence, those two sentences I've just said. Some lady person, I forget her name as well because I quickly deleted her, inboxes me like, this is outrageous. How can you do this? Why would you shame someone? Why are you cyberbullying someone who's done nothing to you? And then like she posts on her profile like screen grabs of my Facebook profile with my profile statement, which is be kind, and like, ironic that a cyberbully creep who stalks women and demeans them has a profile that says be kind. Oh, and then like literally within half an hour of seeing this, 10 people, all of them guys. So, and then she's like, you're a stalker. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Who goes through women's profiles looking for pictures so that you can belittle them. This is why the world needs the Gillette ad. I'm like, I'm suddenly a rapist, a sexist, a stalker, and a creep. Mm. Because a picture that popped up in my timeline as a violation of my intelligence of someone being stupid, I was like, this is dumb. And I'm allowed to not like things. It's like I'm allowed to not like bell-bottom jeans. I'm allowed to not like a fashion trend of pouting. I'm allowed to not like posing with your hand on your face. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a woman. If a dude did something dumb...
But this is all as a result of the same thing.
But the great irony that I love is that suddenly this person who had to have scrolled through my whole profile looking at pictures of me and a lady friend on holiday, looking at pictures of me on this show, the stuff I post, new pair of shoes, nothing political, nothing sexist, no sex-related anything. She had to have gone through my stuff to then call me a stalker who goes through people's stuff. Also, then she puts out the lynch mob call, having created a picture of me and my intentions and my personality based on no real information. And then I get inboxes from 10 outraged guys.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't realize that now you've called your followers of guys, and she's a pretty girl, I think, subjectively speaking. And like, dudes, I get called...
Yeah, but these are... I know who these guys are.
I get called a fat rhymes with stunt. I get called an evil brother trucker. I get called a thing that rhymes with sluss. I get told, you should fucking die.
Yes.
And then the one guy says to me, I'm going to go through your profile and pull out all the pictures of how fucking fat you are and post them with nasty comments, and you can see what it feels like to be shamed and cyberbullied.
You know what?
But
these guys are what they call allies.
But that's my last thing, is like, I'm like, nah, then you can feel like what it feels like to be shamed and cyberbullied. Mm. I'm like, dude, I'm pretty sure what they just shamed me and cyberbullied me.
But they also did it because they want to get laid with the girl.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so weird that like she puts out a thing and her followers who all want to come and jump on the bandwagon are all guys.
Let me clear this up for any girl who's confused. The minute a guy runs to your defense on social media
about feminist issues.
Yeah, you know, he wants to have sex with you and he's too embarrassed or ashamed or insecure to actually just ask you.
To be fair though, I do know some guys that are like genuinely involved in this and are like into the whole equal rights and stuff.
They're
not acting as sycophants to like hot girls.
All right, listen, we've got five things to know. We've got one out of the way so far. So here's the next one. Political parties on Tuesday welcomed the signing of political party funding bill into law. Now, I don't know if this is any good or not.
What does this mean?
Well, apparently the bill provides for the establishment of two funds for represented parties, disclosure of donations, and the prohibition on certain donations. So hopefully this will help us to know who is funding the political parties. And obviously we won't be able to get to the bottom of things like Basasa, which we've just seen now. But this bill will hopefully go some way to having politics cleaned up, at least from a donation point
of view. It's just always so hard to get a clean-up politics things pushed through the political system.
Yeah, but can we have a close-up, brother? Politics in this country is like the fire festival. Mm-hmm. It's a mess, okay?
It is.
They were selling something that didn't exist, and everyone's on the take, and it's a disaster.
Dude, it's exactly like the fire festival. Then what gets delivered is just such a piece of shit in the end.
No. So the bodies of four friends who drowned while on holiday in Mozambique are expected to arrive in South Africa on Tuesday night, a spokesman for the family said. The bodies of Lesego Matsepe, Gregory Mfune, David Kaise, and Matolo Mogafe will arrive in South Africa today. They crossed the border between South Africa and Mozambique together, and they're returning today. Still a collective, said Bongani Diako in a press conference that was held on Tuesday night. Apparently, the bodies, these people all drowned.
That's awful.
Yeah. Awful, awful stuff.
I nearly drowned once, and like in the sea, and I just know that feeling of like you can so quickly, as a competent swimmer who's been in the sea 1,000 times, just find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, and now you're suddenly going out further than you can go back in.
Right. Mayor Herman Mashaba has cracked down on business premises where it appears that contractors have illegally connected water and electricity supplies. It's amazing that there are businesses. I say that in inverted commas, because if you're in business, you know you've got to pay for something if you expect someone to pay you for something. Mm-hmm. That basically are illegally connecting themselves up to city water and city power, and then not paying any bills. So Herman Mashaba's after them, which is good news. And then this is kind of sad. An elderly woman who suffered extensive injuries during an accident exactly a month ago says she's frustrated and disappointed that she's still waiting for surgery in a Limpopo hospital.
That's a lot of painkillers that kind of keep you together.
I mean, her name is Catherine Ugoda, and she's got twin granddaughters. They were admitted to the Louis Trichardt Memorial Hospital 2 days before Christmas.
Man.
After the taxi they were in crashed into a bucky on the N1. These people didn't do this to themselves. They were in an accident that they didn't even cause. She was initially told she wouldn't have surgery at the time because all the doctors were on leave. They say her operation is scheduled for Wednesday, today. She said she would have just left the hospital if she had money. I've been in this bed since 22 December. Limpopo hospitals are very poor, she said.
It's honestly a month.
Yes, sis.
Yeah, it's like, it's when you hear stuff like this and you want to crack wise and try to be entertaining and you just think like there's nothing funny about this. Like, you can make jokes about government incompetence and, you know, the fuckery and how it's all like Firefest vibes all you want. But when a person like that has no choice but to be stuck there, has to have the operation, can't, has no way of affording. I mean, I get involved in a lot of like GoFundMe things where people, I mean, people I know or friends of friends have come down with cancer and don't have medical aid, stuff like that. But like, we don't, if everybody just gave like $5, you could get this person a proper operation in a proper hospital. It just really makes me sad that people have to face that when they have no choice.
Yeah.
Because other people suck.
Bitcoin's at $3,598. Ethereum at $119. Ben, what do you have for us?
The business end of the Aussie Open. Usain Bolt finally calls it quits in his soccer dream. And Pakistan's captain Safra's in a racial shitstorm. Let's kick it off with the tennis in the Rod Laver Arena. That's where the big games are going to start happening as we get into the semifinals and finals. In the men's side, well, quarterfinals tonight, Nishikori will take on Djokovic. Djokovic, top seed. He beat Medvedev to get to this point. Nishikori beat Karina Buster. Then on the other
Karina
side,
Buster.
We've got Raonic versus Puel, French-Canadian affair. That's currently about to kick off. And then Tsitsipas. Look at this guy go. Yeah, he beat Batista Ogut, and he is now into the semifinals. That is just such a great story. It really is. Then Nadal, he beat that Tiafo guy, so he'll take on Tsitsipas in the semifinals. What a great story. The young Greek guy, all of 20. He is the 14th seed, though, so he's absolutely no mug with the racket, and he'll be taking on Nadal, which is a boyhood dream. You get to play Federer and Nadal in the same week.
Good for Tsitsipas. Amazing.
On the women's side of things, well, Serena, is she there? Is she there? No. No, she's not there. Sorry, she got beaten. 4-6, 6-4, 7-5. Pliskova beat her.
All right.
So she'll not go through to the semi-final where Naomi Osaka already is. She is, of course, the reigning women's U.S. Open champion. Okay. Yeah, she beats.
Is that a new tournament?
Delina.
Women's.
Yes, yeah. You know, thanks. Eloquence, that's nothing. So she beats Svitolina, straight set 6-4, 6-1. So she's through the semi-final, where she'll take on Pliskova. And the other side, Kvitova will take on Collins, this American Collins. She just keeps rambling on. She beats Pavlyuchenkova. Yeah. So that is what you got to look forward to in the Aussie Open. The Proteas bounced back after their pretty piss-poor effort in PE by beating Pakistan in Durban. Yeah, the bowling was good early on. Indira Petlakwai was the pick of them all round as Pakistan limped to 203 all out. It wasn't easy going with the bat, and Petlakwai again came to the fore with a beautiful 69 knots out. ABs anchored by Rusi van der Dissen.
Rusi van der Dissen?
Rusi van der Dissen, yeah, he scored 80 not out. Petlakwai 69 not out. But the big controversy is Safra's Ahmed. Well, he was being a bit of a racist last night. Now, forgive me, my Urdu isn't what it used to be. But after Andile Petlakwai hit a ball down to the leg side, he said, Abi Kal Teri Ami Aj Kahan Batin Han.
Oh, Jesus.
Kia Pawa Kiaya Hanj. And what that loosely translates to, Gareth, if you didn't pick up, I told you my Urdu is a bit rusty. That loosely translates to, hey, black guy, where's your mother sitting today? What prayer have you got for her to say today? Because he felt that Andile was being a bit arsy with the bat. He was getting away with taking a few chances. On
racist.
Air, on air, Mike Haseman says to Ramiz Raja, who is a Pakistan gentleman, what's he saying there, Ramiz? Ramiz, with no backbone at all, said, it's a very long sentence which is difficult to translate. Bullshit. It was a racist slur. But now the whole cricketing world is picking up on this, and Safra's could be in a spot of the doo-doo.
Oh.
Yeah, it was said to be a very derogatory term, in that even though the words were just "Hey, black guy," it was how he said it, and obviously with different dialects and connotations around it. It's just a very unnecessary thing to say, Safra's. Wow. Come here and start being all racist.
I know, it's not, totally uncalled
it's
for.
Not tolerated. No. It's just not tolerated. And cricket's meant to be a gentleman's game. Football, yeah. I mean, say things and steal and stuff. I mean,
could have been worse. He could have said he didn't like the way the person posed for their selfie.
Could have been Gordsy levels. Levels, always levels. Speaking of football, Cardiff City, they're having a bit of a shit time of things. I'm not just saying where they're situated currently in the English Premier League log, but they thought they could turn their fortunes around by signing the Argentine Emiliano Sala, otherwise known as a fox in the box. This guy was a prolific scorer. He's done well in for French team. Gotta go with Nantes. Not entirely sure. Anyway, he was flying over to meet up with his new team. Plane has now gone missing.
So did he play for Nantes or for Nantes? Because that's a big... I keep wanting to make jokes with tragic stories. I'm sorry.
It's what you do, Gord. It's what you do.
Nantes.
So police on the British island of Guernsey suspended their search yesterday after looking for the plane that's gone down, of which he was one of the few passengers. And it is a very, very sad story, this, because the Cardiff supporters are already coming out. Like, this guy was going to be their hope, their relegation hope. And it looks like his dog got down in a plane crash. And the thing is, like, when you basically crash in a plane, history would suggest your chances of survival aren't particularly good.
You think that's funny, huh, Gord?
No, yes, I'm trying so hard not to laugh.
Yes.
Because it's tragic, and I wish no disrespect to the dead. But the fact that there could be a football team called Nantes has given me hope. I want to start Nantes FC.
Let me tell
and
you,
get my friends to play there.
N-A-N-T-E-S.
No, N-O-N-C-E.
It's a different kind of team. It's a different kind of team that they're
okay,
in England.
But it is bloody terrible.
Every Sunday.
It is bloody terrible that anyone should die.
Yeah.
And especially in
the
plane
wait till
crash.
The social media mobs. You thought they could cross with you over the hand on the face.
I think the word nonce is funny. I don't hate the dead person.
No, it's a very different team. Right. That team plays behind the church on Sunday. Banyana, they played yesterday. Slightly better story. And they drew with Sweden. Now, Sweden's a decent team. They ranked, I think, 9th in the world. And our girls, was that derogatory? Can we not say that? Is that offensive?
Oh, they are girls.
Our girls
women
played.
People.
I'm assigning ownership to our team here, Gordon. You back the hell off.
Yeah, people who can define their gender as they please, but also who happen to be of the feminine DNA.
All right, well, not to offend anyone, I'm just going to say banyana. I'm not going to assign ownership to them. They drew with Sweden 0-0, which is pretty good because Sweden's obviously a very established team. They've been playing all the big tournaments, banyana, on the route to France this year to go play at the Women's World Cup. But do you think that they get any bonuses for that? Like, what do you think they get paid for that?
Yeah, definitely way less than the men teams do, which is total bullshit.
Put it this way, after a game like that, I think they're just hoping not to be me too by Donny Jordan. But the Bafana, on the other hand, they get 40 grand for a draw.
Each or for the team?
Good question.
Because it's men if it's
players.
For the team and it's a
Bafana,
lot if it's
Bafana
each.
Players earn as much as 60,000 rand for a win, because obviously it's unexpected, but they can get as much as 40,000 for a draw. Imagine that.
That's a sweet deal.
I'll go and spectacularly underperform for the national team for that much money.
Well, sure. Good, yeah. I'm just going to put it out there. You shouldn't have aspirations past goalkeeper.
So you never want to actually put the fat oak in goals. This is a stereotype that
well,
I
you
fight
don't exactly
against.
Want him
with because
the
you
wing.
Actually need the agile oak that can jump far and high, not the oak who can get 3 inches off the ground with great effort if you give him time to take a run-up. You want to put your fat oaks as central defenders. I've played a lot of corporate league football, and I can tell you,
wow,
we're good at that. Zonal marking and bumping O's off the ball. You want a lithe, tall person as goalkeeper. Stereotype Kopinski.
All right, good. This is how we learn. But so don't expect Banyana to be making much money. And look, there is plans in place to kind of level the playing fields a little bit, so when they at least go travel, they get the same sort of daily allowances. But I find this interesting. As much as 40,000 rand per player for a draw, this can't be right.
Wouldn't be surprised if the ladies team got less than that for the whole team for playing a game.
Yes, I got that, Gord. I got that. Speaking of money, though, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's not going to jail. That could last 17 seconds in a jail. Huh? They would show him a introduction like nothing else.
Yeah, it wouldn't go well.
Anyway, you'd probably just sell everything, which he's got many things to sell.
You got that much money, you'll be fine in jail.
Yeah, but also you wouldn't go to jail, and that's exactly where he is. So even though his time at Real Madrid, he was basically fire-festing the tax, he just keeps coughing money. Yesterday he was in court with his beautiful girlfriend and designer shades and slick hairstyle, and he was just basically told to pay an extra 59 million rand, to which he said, yeah, okay.
All right,
no biggie.
I always wondered if he has to use expensive hair product to get his hair like that, or if he just uses...
Take a 14% of the small account in Switzerland. Pay this bastard.
I wonder if he has to bring in hair product or if he just uses his own personal grease to sculpt, like wipe from chin to hair and then sculpt.
See, Gordon, that's where you've gone too far.
Why?
You've pushed it. I mean, I'm trying to market this podcast. I'm trying to get it out to people. And now you're having these Portuguese stereotypes.
Ah, you're the one that stereotypes Portuguese people.
You're isolating me from potential audience here.
Person.
I've
met greasy Welsh people.
All right. So now the Welsh.
Kapinski, hateful of Portuguese.
Have the Welsh not suffered enough with the Cardiff plane crash?
No.
Which you think you was mocked. Hilarious.
Yes, I mean, they have suffered enough. Not, no, they haven't.
You're a hazard. Wednesday's
Let's pile more on the Welsh.
Usain Bolt has decided to say, well, that's it for my football career. About time. And finally, Virat Kohli is basically the greatest person who's ever played cricket, ever.
But it was a hypothetical football career that he was discussing possibly doing.
No, he gave his heart and soul.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he was just talking about it.
No, he was there. He was trying his damnedest.
Okay, respect that.
Nobody would pay the wages, and therefore he just thought, well, screw it. He's 32 now. There's just so many things that he can do because he's Usain Bolt. So why go sweat around with like average football players?
Yeah.
But Virat Kohli has been named the cricketer of everything, basically. The ICC have these various awards, and he is...
All-time cricketer of everything.
He's basically, he's the best test cricketer, he's the best ODI cricketer, he's the best T20 cricketer, he's the best cricketer with a beard, he's the best cricketer called Virat, he's the best cricketer to ever clap his hands, he's the best cricketer who's ever had a right hand. The list goes on and on. Of course, he was disqualified from being the best women's cricketer of the year and the best associate
that
cricketer
of so
the year.
That is so sexist.
But he said he would have done it if he had the time, to which the ICC said they would amend the rules next year so he can be eligible for all of them. Which is fair, because he is that great.
Glad to see they're progressive in their thinking.
And that is it for your sport, essentially.
Well, Carl sent me an email, Carl DeSantos, who says, Ben, you can try to avoid offending women all you like, but as far as I know, Banyana means the girls. So just by calling them Banyana, you're assuming their identity. Sad! !
See, Carl. It's a minefield, isn't it?
More of stereotype Kapinski in his stride.
Yes. Yeah, whatever. You and your distaste for Mediterranean people.
And Cardiffians.
Yes, I mean.
Anyway, Cardiff.
More sport on Friday.
All right, after Gord's offended everyone.
And Ben.
On Earth. All right, let's get into Said by Sia, everybody. Here we are. Sia, take it away.
If you were on social media yesterday, you may have seen this name trending, and it's such an awesome story as to why he was. Remember, we've had him actually pop into the studio a couple of times, DJ Arch Jr. He started off as a three-year-old DJ who...
Didn't he win SA's Got Talent
or
something?
Yes, that was back in 2015. And so now there's a new show in the Got Talent franchise, and that's America's Got Talent, The Champions. And that's when all of the global Got Talent stars all compete with one another in the US.
Wow, they really milk these formats, huh?
They just do whatever you have to do to get some more money.
That's okay. So has he done well?
Yes. So let's raise our South African flags high for this one. He's now 6 years old. His name is DJ Arch Jr. And he really took the judges by surprise on the US stage yesterday. So it aired on Monday night in the US.
How old is he now?
He's six.
Okay.
Aired Monday night in the US. So we got wind of it yesterday, our time. And this is what the four judges had to say about it.
All right, here they are. Just take a listen here quickly.
Wowza, wowza. Now, just to be clear, you were stopping and starting...
Oh, that's Mel B.
Yeah.
I'm a book.
What is she? She's still on the show. Who else are the judges?
There's Mel B, Howie Mandel, Heidi Klum, and Simon Cowell.
Oh, right.
And that all by yourself, right?
Yes.
Well, you have impeccable rhythm and timing. Well done. Heidi, what did you think?
You are by far the coolest six-year-old I have ever met in my life. You really are, and I have four kids. I know what I'm talking about. I thought you were incredible, and I wish you good luck today.
You're really talented. Two people are going through. I loved what you did, and I hope you're one of the two that America votes through.
Who's that?
Simon.
Howie Mandel.
And now here's everybody's favorite judge of all, Simon, the I screw my best friend's wife, Carl.
What did you think?
Hey, well, you and I need to be talking after this show, because I've got some plans for you, trust me. I think you are a total, total little star. I absolutely love you. You're 6 years old, you've flown all the way in from South Africa to take on the best. is all down to the 50 states now. What a way to start the show. And you are everything the show is all about. Thank you.
Well done, AJ.
That's cool, though, man.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. That's terrific. But I hear these shows, and I just go cold. I'm like, I'm so disinterested in these talent shows.
Hey. It's just the judges. Like, they get these, like, like. But, I mean, again, not to take anything away from the little kid. That's
good for
awesome,
him.
Yeah.
Mm. So let's, yeah, we need some good news to cling on to. Let's root for DJ Arch Jr. on this one. The winner will get $1 million US.
Wow.
In a prize package, and already there are whispers based on Simon Cowell's comment that Simon actually wants to manage him. So despite whether or not he wins, I think that's another sweet deal.
Yeah.
So let's carry on rooting for him and see how it goes. DJ Arch Jr. now trending worldwide yesterday for his appearance on America's Got Talent.
Let me tell you, I don't like Simon Cowell, but then I think he'd manage this kid very well, and he'd be sure to set him up for a lifetime of earning decent money.
Yeah, so he does seem like a ginormous dickhead, but when he decides he wants to make famous, when he decides he wants to, like, take on a project and commoditize it, typically it does well. Like,
it does.
And he mines the talent shows for opportunities for that. So you might not necessarily win, but Simon will come chat to you afterwards and make you One Direction.
Well, I've got the most marvelous deal for you, and I'm going to get 25%.
Yeah, you know,
more
since
than that,
the Got
more,
Talent.
Way more than that. You might get 25% if you're lucky. And then you pay your own marketing, tour management, merch, and team support team out of your 25%. Basically, you are now my slave, DJ, or I'll beat you.
Well, you know, even though he's on Got Talent, he still started X Factor. And so anyone who wins the X Factor gets instantly signed onto his label. And he's still, as you were saying, he mines and looks for people, even on Got Talent, to sign onto his label.
Listen, good luck to this kid. I think we had him in here. He's a very talented young man, and to be at 6 years old, the star that he is, I think he's going to go far. Good for him. Yeah. Great. Let's hope America votes for him. All right. We're going to come back with some news. We've actually got no guest this morning because we thought we'd spend a bit of time catching up, and we've got so much to talk about. So don't go anywhere. All of this and more on the way in the next hour. CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7. Here's some old school courtesy of Gord Laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Special request.
Request.
Going out just to me. I dedicate this song to me.
This is CliffCentral.com.